Seated. In our message time today, we're going to be sharing to you from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 12. It will be up on the screen. We're using the New King James Version as we typically do. While you are turning there or watching it on the screen, one is to kind of get in the context and the understanding of what it's saying to us. There is a danger that you will apply the message that we speak today to other people. And there are parts of this message that can be applied to other people, and it would be beneficial for them to hear it. But we have to be careful that we do not just say, "That's not me." I want you to listen and hear what God would say to you, and that you would respond to it. Do not be too quick to say, "Yeah, that's somebody else." And you might have had the experience when you were growing up or are growing up, depending on the age you are in the cycle in life, where you might have said things like, when your mother or father told you to do something, it made it more likely that you were going to do it anyhow. There was just something in you that said, "Mom says don't, and so I think I'm going to do it." There was this rebellious teenager, is what we might call it here in the United States. There was this rebellion. You just seemed like you want to do the opposite. And so parents might say, "Well, you know, if you tell them not to, they're going to go do it. So be careful if you tell them not to, because that might make them do it anyhow." There seems to be in this desire for independence. And sometimes to our own hurt. But can you relate to those times in your life that maybe your parents or somebody told you not to or to do it, and so you just said, "Well, I'm doing it just because they told me not to"? A little bit of that rebellious streak. And so as you think about that, and we'll expound on that, we're going to read scripture from Ezekiel chapter 12 and those first two verses. But as you read this, I want you to, those of you maybe, this is the first time you'll hear these concepts, but some of you maybe have been in church a long time, and I want you to think about the other scriptures that relate to this, because there will be some, I believe. We're not going to go chase them all down. But in Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house.'" A rebellious house. If you think in the context of what I just spoke to you, it's that desire to do the opposite. But maybe it's this desire so much to be so independent. As a teenager is growing up, as a child's growing up, they want to say, what do they say? "You're not the boss of me." When they start out like at 2 or 3 years old, it starts. And then it happens again when they're teenagers. And it happens again probably in their 20s. They try to find things to do differently from their parents because they want to be so independent. It's not always that they just want to overcome the mistakes of their parents, because parents make mistakes. But they almost want to go in the opposite direction. They just want that independence to do the opposite. They want to prove that they are an adult. And so they do those rebellions. I have heard of a church one time that, you know, sometimes church have been labeled over time, and they'll say, well, we're a non-traditional church. You know, we shouldn't just do things because. But just because you don't know why they're done doesn't mean that you should not do them. Some traditions are good traditions. It reinforces good behavior. But I have heard some going to the point that what we traditionally would call a bulletin, they won't call it a bulletin because that's what it used to be called. They'll call it a program. They have to call it something different. That's kind of a rebellious streak, isn't it? That you're just have to, it has to be different. Sometimes there's things that are good, and we throw them out because we don't understand them. We don't seek to understand them. We just get rid of it because we want to prove our independence. And it's a shame as we think about things in life where sometimes the rebellion leads to damage. People end up in jail just because they wanted to rebel against their parents. Sometimes there, when I stopped paying attention to mom and dad, that's when I started getting in trouble. They'll say, after they're in trouble. Sometimes, the generationally, before, there were things that were bad, and because families don't want to repeat all their dirty laundry, the children might not know that it's a bad path. They don't want to say all the bad, or because they don't want to say, well, your great-grandparents did the same thing, or great-great-grandparents did the same thing. So it gives them permission to go ahead and do the bad. You think about the Israelites in the Old Testament. You may recall, if you're not, we'll talk about it a little bit. They have times where they were following God, and then you would have a rebellious king that did not follow God. They would follow God, and then they would chase after Baal. And it's in this rebellion that people have, they hear, but do not hear. They have eyes to see, but they do not see. Jesus used to say phrases like, verily, verily, I say to you, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. See, I can see things, but I may not perceive them. I may not understand them. Are you listening to God? Do you hear God? Or is it going in one ear and out the other? See, we try to excuse things. You know, it is in our nature to sin. We've discussed this. You don't have to teach a child to lie. Now, you can teach a child maybe to be if there's such a thing as a better liar. But when you ask the child that has the pudding on their face, the chocolate, their hand is full of cake, did you eat the cake? It's in their hand. No. It was his fault. They just naturally do that. We teach them not to do those things. They like to say what? Mine, mine, mine. We teach them to share. Even our pets, what do they say? They need to be socialized. We have this desire for ourselves. It is in our behavior. Some will say it's natural, but we are born in sin. We need a Savior. Why would Jesus come and die if we're just all born, don't need a Savior? He came because we need a Savior. We're born in sin. We sin. We're selfish. Adam and Eve. The temptation was to be like God. Got caught up in pride, desire. But it's in our nature. Have you heard things? There's a song out there, and maybe you've heard similar songs or similar phrases. How can it be wrong when it feels so right? How can it be wrong when it feels so right? People will say other things like, well, if it feels good, do it. Well, you know what? Our sin nature is to sin. We look out for number one. There's another famous song out there that says, I did it my way. Not I did it God's way. I did it my way. Look at me. I did it my way. And so we have so much a desire for this independence. We're kind of like those teenagers or those 20-somethings. No offense to those of you who are in your 20-somethings, but if there's any teenagers listening. But we have to be cautious that we don't let our guide be because it feels good. Because there's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. There will be consequences. And the consequences aren't only to you. It's often that your family suffers, your parents suffers, your sibling suffers, and your children suffer. Because that sin visits on multiple generations. They're not guilty. You're not guilty for what your parents have done, but what your parents have done affects you. And what you do affects other generations. My wife sings a song, "May my great, great, great granddaughter live in peace." Because I affect the generations. And God might be telling you, well, what you're doing is wrong, and you're not listening. Because you're listening to, well, if it feels good. Having ears, they don't hear. If I present to you the truth, you may not see it because of your rebellion. You're so desirous of being independent that you don't even want to repeat the good things that have been taught. You can see it in the world today. You'll hear phrases like, my truth. My truth. If someone is in a rebellious mode, they're seeking their truth, or they're saying, I'm looking for my truth, they probably will find their truth. But they're unlikely to find truth. See, truth is truth. There's not different forms of truth. It's like we change truth into some type of like our taste buds. You might like a type of food that I don't like. I might say I like fish, and you might say I do not like fish. So when I go out to eat someplace, I'm going to look over the part of the menu that has fish to see maybe I might want to get some trout or some whatever kind of fish is on there. You're going to skip over that part because that's not your appetite or that's not what your taste buds like. And so you're not going to even look at that part of the menu. And if they put some food in there that you liked in the wrong part of the menu, you would never see it because you're not going to look at it because it doesn't fit your appetite. So do you have appetite for truth, or you do have appetite for my truth? Do you desire the truth of God, or do you desire to tell someone, have someone tell you you're right? You know, if I'm hungry for chicken, I'm going to find a place that sells chicken because I'm chasing my appetite at the time. Some are treating their appetites at the time, their feelings at the time, as though and elevate it to truth. And they call it my truth. But if you're seeking my truth, you're going to hear truth and not hear it because you're skipping over it. People are treating their appetites, their feelings in the moment, and trying to label it truth, to give them an excuse to ignore truth. Sometimes we don't want to hear what the preacher says, so we might go or find the preacher that agrees with you. You might know in your heart that it disagrees with Scripture, but if you keep ignoring the Scripture long enough, you keep ignoring God long enough, you're going to find somebody that will say something that matches with your truth, but doesn't match with God's truth. Your ears become, Scripture might use the word, dull. And how do people search for truth today? They go on the internet or the social media and they look for. So let me give you an example. I might look for, how do I change a spare tire? I might look that up on the internet and I might get a host of answers. And I've got to discern which one might be correct. But if I'm looking for, how can I change a spare tire? Using a match. Or how do I inflate a tire? Let's do it this way. What if I want to inflate a tire? How do I inflate a tire? Some might find and search for, because I'm trying to find my truth, because I want to inflate a tire with a match. They'll say, how do I inflate a tire with a match? You might think, Pastor, you're crazy. I would not attempt to inflate a tire with a match. But you know there's people that actually do? They put something in there to make the tire catch flame and then it blows up. And then it catches on fire. Because they're trying to find the answer of how do I blow up a tire with a match. It's not the right way. Because I was searching for a certain way, I'm going to find that way. People are looking for something that matches up. And the internet will respond in your Google searches with whatever you're looking for, whether it's true or not. Well, I found it on the internet. You can find everything on the internet. You want to make a bomb? Find it on the internet. Does that mean that's good to make a bomb? No. But you'll find your truth because that's how they make money. Sending you things. The more clicks, the more advertisements. And that's how they make their money. But you'll get answers to my truth. You'll find other people to agree with you in my truth. But do you want the truth? It's in the Scripture. Are you in search of your truth? Search of God's truth. Or maybe let's just call it truth itself. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. So in the moment, you might get your truth and make you feel better, but you're dulling your ears. And you've closed your heart because it's rebellious. And the danger is you say, yeah, those kids today. But what about you? Because I don't care if you're 60 or 70 or 80 or pushing 90 years old. Sometimes you're listening for the thing you want to hear, and God's trying to tell you something different, but you don't want to hear because you're just as rebellious. And you rest on the fact that you're older and you deserve it because you're so old and I've went through these things and so you're owed it. And you think you know something just because you've made it this far through life by the grace of God because you did a lot of stupid things. You need to get square with God. So be careful you don't say, oh, those kids today. If someone wants to do something bad, they're going to find somebody to tell them that it's okay. But when you search Scripture, sometimes and often it challenges you. And if you're a student of Scripture, and as you age, you're going to find out, wow, I've been a Christian, I've been following God this long, and God's got something else for me to learn. You should be continually open to the will of God. You should be maturing and getting deeper in your walk with God, not sitting back, well, I've already went through the motions, I've already had the procedure, I've went through the rituals, and I'm done. Well, your truth might tell you that, but God's truth says, He desires you to be more and more Christ-like. And if you think you learned everything, you're supposed to be making disciples and teaching other people and saying, well, I'm retired. I don't have to do anything else for God. You're still here. Should still be a servant of God. So don't be skipping over truth because you're listening for your truth. If you're searching for your truth, or I want to find my truth, you're not going to find truth. And you can see that. You can see that in society today. We can't even discuss the merits of the truth of God because we're hyped up on what your truth is. What is God trying to tell you? Are you truly seeing or hearing? Do you really want to? Is this verse, are these verses about you? Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but does not see, and ears to hear, but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Some of you maybe know that what you're doing is wrong. And God has told you it's wrong. But you haven't stopped doing it. You're plugging your ears, looking for every excuse to do something different. You're rebellious. You're trying to be independent. And some God might be telling you to do something. He wants you to do something, and you're doing the same thing. You're either being rebellious and not following God, or you're just lazy. If God's telling you to do something, you're still being disobedient. If he's telling you to do something you're not doing, you're being disobedient. Well, I don't do this, that bad stuff. Yeah, but he's telling you to do something. You're still being disobedient. You're not doing the bad, but you're not doing the good. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is, James says, sin. God has been trying to tell you, are you listening? Are you listening? You're just full of excuses. Trying to justify what you're doing because you don't want to be obedient. Because then you'd have to admit you're wrong. So be less concerned about your truth and be more concerned about God's truth. Be obedient to God. Hear what he's trying to tell you. Learn what he's trying to teach you. Don't try to be independent from God. There's too much history to look at in your own families. Too much history to look like at the Israelites. And you can look upon nations. But when you go against God, there's going to be consequences. And it's not just consequences for you. It's not just in this time. It can be for eternity. And the impact it will have on those around you and those behind you is not isolated. Listen to what God is trying to tell you. Let's be standing together. Father God, I pray that each one that hears this message might open their hearts and hear from you. Not their truth, not my truth, your truth. And if you've been trying to tell them something, may they open their ears. But not only open their ears, but be obedient to either stop or go, to do. If you've asked them to do it, help them not to be lazy, to do it. If you tell them to stop it, help them to stop it. Help us not to be a rebellious people. And turn from you. Help us not to be like the Israelites of the Old Testament were. Get rid of the ups and downs and surrender you. Help us, dear Lord, to hear your call, to unplug our ears, to open our eyes, to see and perceive, to not seek ourselves, but seek you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.